produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
A very warm welcome and greetings to everybody out there. This is your weekly program again, and you are with none other than Pearl Coupe, God's servant, God's errand girl. And I'm so pleased to be able to bring you this week's program on Ambassador of Change, which is our weekly program that comes on every Saturday at 18:30. That is 18:30 CAT or Central African Time. It is 18:30. Also using SAST time, which is South African Standard Time. So I just want to bring warm greetings to all our listeners around the world. What a wonderful day it is. Let's just proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us be glad and rejoice in it. It's a wonderful day. We have the gift of life. Things may not be exactly as we've planned, but we are glad to be alive. Most of us have our health, and those who don't, we're just praying that God will just heal them and restore their bodies completely in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So I'm so happy to be with you again today. And today on the program of Ambassador of God, I just wanted to talk about some scriptures. You know, one of the things that often really saddens me is when I see a lot of competition, a lot of strife, a lot of fights that happen in the body of Christ, and you see brother coming against brother and sister coming against sister, and you know, people fighting and competing in the ministry. Others are fighting for titles, others are fighting for positions, others are fighting to take over. And this is something that deeply saddens me. But, you know, the worst part of it is it doesn't just sadden me. It saddens God most of all. I mean, as a parent, I don't know how many of you are parents out there. Doesn't it sadden you when you see your children fighting amongst you? No parent, no real parent would love to see their children fighting and pulling hair and hurting one another, wounding one another in the same manner. It saddens God when he sees his children doing that. And so today I want to just discuss and address some of the issues that we see manifesting in the body of Christ, because what they have the impact of doing is that it disturbs the unity. It breaks the unity. And unity is one of the key weapons of victory. God spoke about unity in Psalm 133. We know Psalm 133. We know, you know, Genesis 11, when God said that in 11:6, that whatever they purpose to do, because they're unified, nothing shall be restrained from them. So all these things, lies, gossip, slander, talebearing, division, competition, jealousy, all those things are hindrances which stop us from being unified for God's purpose, for kingdom purpose. So today I want to discuss a scripture that actually talks about the things that God hates. Yes, you heard me well, because I think oftentimes we think that God is just love and there's no room for hate. Well, I have news for you. There are things that God hates. And we're going to go to scripture to actually find out what are those things. So understand that God doesn't hate people, but he hates this behavior that can manifest in people. So we need to understand that, because somebody out there might be saying, well, he's a God of unconditional love. And yes, he is. His love is not without any condition. It's free of charge. His love, he doesn't take it back from us. So even when he rebukes us, even when he chastises us, in fact, the word says he chastises those whom he loves. He disciplines those whom he loves. So even when he has to teach and correct or, you know, change something in us, it doesn't take away his love from us. But there are things in us, behaviors and characteristics in us, spirits that may be pushing us to behave in a certain way that God hates. And so today I want to talk about some of those things. And there are seven things. If we go to the book of Proverbs in verse 6, and we're going to read from 16 to 19, that there are seven things that the Lord hates. And like I said, just take notice that these are not things that he dislikes. It doesn't say there are seven things that the Lord dislikes or disapproves of. It says there are seven things that he wants to hate, which means if you and I want to be on the Lord's side, we have to be sure to not be involved in any of these behaviors, or else we're going to be indulging in that which the Lord hates. And what that does now is effectively place you and I in direct opposition to God. So let's turn to our foundational scripture for today, read that, and then we'll probably focus on three or four aspects of the scripture to say, what does it mean when it says that God hates these things? What kind of behavior is that? We'll go and interrogate some of the behavior that is detestable before God. So let's start with our scripture reading from Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. And it says as follows: there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And the first thing that's mentioned in verse 17 is haughty eyes. Number one, haughty eyes. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked schemes. Number five, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Number six, a false witness who pours out lies. And number seven, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So like I said, we're not going to deal with all of the seven issues, but we're going to touch on a few. And these are a few that, you know, by the Spirit of the Lord just led me to deal with some of those few issues, because I think this is some of the things that we see manifesting themselves a lot within the body of Christ and within the kingdom of God. And I believe God wants us to reflect on these things and refrain from those behaviors so that really he can be amongst us and we can go from one level of glory to another level of glory by stopping some of these behaviors. So the first thing that God mentions in his word in verse 17, Proverbs 6, 17, he talks about haughty eyes, haughty eyes. Now, if you do a study and, you know, of the word haughty, haughty speaks of pride. So what the Bible is speaking of right now is pride. So one of the seven things that God hates is pride, is pride. And there are numerous scriptures that talk about pride and that talk about, you know, the negative aspects of pride and what pride will do. You know, we know that the Bible tells us that pride comes before a fall. So if we are walking in pride, it is only a question of time until we actually will fall. It's a question of time, and God will give us grace. God will give us time to repent from walking into pride, from walking in pride. He will give us time. He'll keep speaking to us by Holy Spirit. He'll speak to us through other people to show that, look, you are not walking in humility, you're walking in pride. And if we keep on walking in pride, there will come a time when we actually will see that as a result of that pride, one of the seeds, one of the harvest of pride that you will actually reap from the seed of pride is a harvest of falling. That is just a question of time when you will fall. Things around you will fall. You know, all finances and things that, you know, have to do with yourself, you'll just see yourself falling from grace, because grace God gives to the humble. But it's not something that you can connect to when you're walking in pride. And of course, we know that pride is the main thing that caused the devil actually to fall. So if we want to talk about fall, one of the greatest examples we can see is the devil who got lifted up in pride and wanted now to substitute God and be like God and now lifted up in pride to be like him. And we see a great fall. I mean, he fell from such grace, from a place of being worship leader and being that angel, Lucifer, which means morning star, that angel who was described as a morning star, to now falling to be now into the occultic demon, now somebody who is in direct opposition with God. So there's no greater example that we can see from falling because of pride than the devil himself. So haughty eyes speaks of pride, and James 4:6 says that, but he gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. And, you know, in the scripture, it actually says that God opposes the proud, but shows grace or favor to the humble. So one of the things that we can actually connect to as a result of being humble and walking in humility is that we now can connect to God's grace, and his grace, the Bible says grace is more sufficient than you know, his grace is sufficient for us. And when we walk in grace, even his strength is perfected in our weakness. That is the grace that we connect to as a result of walking in humility. But God opposes the proud. This is the thing that always gets me when I interrogate that scripture, and I find out that not only does God show favor, show grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud, which means when he opposes, it means that God is now in a place where he's resisting you. You have become his opposition. So pride places you directly in opposition with God. You have pretty much become his enemy, where the result of that being, whatever you do, God is going to resist you. Whatever you start, whatever you try to do, even if you try and cloak it in holy language and, oh, I'm starting a ministry, that ministry cannot prosper. That ministry cannot, you know, go ahead. Why? Because you are walking in pride, and God himself is resisting you, is resisting your efforts, is resisting whatever you try and do. And sometimes we think that it's the devil resisting us, but in truth and in reality, it's God who is opposing us, God who is resisting our efforts, God who is resisting our initiatives. Why? Because of pride. Because of pride. So it's very important, beloveds, that we humble ourselves before the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. It's very important that, like in Philippians 2, verses 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There's so many of us who actually think that we've started works and initiatives for God or in the name of God, people who have started ministries. And in truth and reality, those ministries were not started as a result of God telling us to start them, but we wanted to see our own names in lights and calling the ministries after our own names. This is my ministry, etc. And the truth of the matter is many things and initiatives were not started because we wanted to do a work for the Lord, or we were instructed by God to start a work for the Lord. But many initiatives were started out of selfish ambition, vain conceit, to draw people to ourselves so that people will idolize and worship us and look unto us and, you know, just begin to see our names. So many works were started to make our names great. And that is pride. That is pride. So Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So many of us do that. Some of us join to ministries, join to other networks, just so that, you know, sometimes we're looking for credibility. Now, if you're doing that because God has spoken to you and God has said, partner, I believe in partnering so much. I believe in partnership. In fact, I know for a fact that God has said that we need to form strategic alliances in this season. So if our heart and our agenda is in forming strategic alliances, one, because God told us to partner with people, and two, because it is for the enlarging of God's territory and kingdom territory. It's so that we can take dominion as a unit. If that is the purpose, if that is the heart, if that is the agenda, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But if Our purpose is to network or to connect with people with names and big names so that we can now, you know, try and get some credibility as a result. Then that means that we are motivated by pride. And when we're motivated by pride, then we incur and attract God's opposition and God's resistance. So it's very important that haughty eyes, it's one of the things that God says he hates, is detestable before him. So when pride comes, it comes with disgrace. In fact, that's Proverbs 11:12. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So let's be encouraged to always ask Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to know our hearts. I love the prayer that David always prayed. He said, search me, O Lord, search me and know me and lead me along the path of righteousness. Righteousness, because many times we can think we don't have pride, but actually pride is hidden in our hearts and we can't see it. In our language, in my mother tongue, which is Setswana, we have a proverb and a saying. It says, "Mapudi ga iponise se mo tlhogong," which means the goat, the she-goat, has horns on her head, but she can't see her horns because, you know, your eyes cannot go to the top of your head. But that same goat will be able to see all the horns on all the other goats and be telling all the other goats, like, you know, oh, you've got horns. But she can't see her own horns because they're in a place where she can't see. Her eyes cannot see. So it's good to have other goats around you, goats who can see your horns, and goats who are covenant friends, and goats who are covenant mentors, and goats who are, you know, people who you can look up to, who can tell you when it looks like you're getting out of order, when it looks like you've lost that aspect of humility. I love to surround myself with friends and I encourage them to be open with me and tell me when I'm out of order. I have mentors. I have covenant friends who are, you know, have the freedom and liberty. Even those who I mentor, you know, who I act as a mentee to, I encourage them to say, look, if you ever see me behaving in a way that you think is a bit odd, please, you know, tell me. And we talk to each other respectfully, not in a way that's condescending or patronizing or rebuking in a harsh way or trying to humiliate somebody, but correcting in love, because truth must always be spoken in love for it to bear seed. So that's the first thing that God hates. So going back to haughty eyes speaks of pride. So may God give us the grace to operate in humility so that we don't end up being resisted by him and being opposed by him. Second thing that is spoken about in this scripture is lying tongue. Lying tongue. God hates lying tongue. In fact, you know what was interesting to me in this scripture is that many of the things that God hates in this very same Proverbs 6:16-19 have to do with lies. They all have to do with lies. So he hates a lying tongue. But then again, if we look at verse 19, he speaks about lies again, where he says he hates a false witness who pours out lies. So every now and then we see an aspect of deception and lies and all of that. So lying tongue is something that God hates. And if we go to 1 Peter 3 verses 10 and 11, it says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile." So if you and I love life, we want to live the full portion of the days that God has allocated to us. If we love life and want to live those days so that we can manifest God's kingdom purpose, and if we want to see good days, the Bible in 1 Peter 3 verses 10 and 11 says, watch your tongue, keep your tongue from evil, and make sure that your lips do not speak any guile, your lips do not speak any evil. In fact, that scripture continues to say, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, which means let him stay away from evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So if we really want to live all the days of our life, long life, appreciate that long life, see good days, we have to keep our tongues from evil. We have to keep our lips from repeating lies and talking lies. And we have to speak and good and pursue peace. You know, Matthew 5. Verses 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So we need to pursue peace. And Proverbs 12:22 is another scripture that talks about lies. It says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So when we speak lies, even when we repeat lies, and we have to be very careful, beloved. Sometimes we say, oh, well, somebody told me this. Be very careful before you rush to repeat things that were said to another person. I've encouraged people on social media to say, fact check your information. Go to the websites and fact check. Because if you just carelessly repeat something that you were told, which is a lie, then, you know, you are now participating in that lie. It's not good enough to say, I didn't know it was a lie. There is a responsibility and an onus for us to fact check, to check information before we repeat it. You could be destroying somebody's reputation. You could be destroying, you know, somebody's life and contributing towards hurting somebody, to contributing towards somebody's depression. Do you know that there are people out there who have committed suicide and killed themselves because of lies that were carelessly said? I'm sure you would not want to be somebody who is involved in contributing to another person taking their life because of a lie that you helped to spread, because of a false witness that you helped to spread that destroyed them, destroyed their business, destroyed the ministry, destroyed the career. Let us be vigilant and let us be alert and let us make sure that we don't speak out any negative, false information that has the effect of destroying other people. God will hold us accountable for what comes out of our mouths. So lying lips are an abomination to God. So let us pray that God will help us and give us the gift of discerning of spirits to discern the truth, and that what we're not sure of, it's better to keep quiet, it's better to keep silent than to actually perpetuate a lie and to perpetuate an untruth. The third thing I want us to look at is the aspect of, you know, we've talked about how God hates, he hates haughty eyes, he hates pride, he hates lying tongue, and he also hates, the third thing I want us to look at is he hates hands that shed innocent blood, hands that shed innocent blood. That's the third thing that we'll look at. Listen, there are people out there who love to gossip, they love to tell tales, they love to spread rumors. And perhaps the only thing that they've not done is to commit murder. They've done every sort of wicked thing out there. Gossiped, slandered, done everything, and shed innocent blood. And actually, you know, you may think that maybe the only thing they've not done is to commit murder. But can I tell you that the word, this is what the word of God says around murder. Because sometimes we think that murder is only the act of taking a knife or a gun and killing, physically killing somebody. The Bible actually tells us that murder in the eyes of God is more than that. It's not just about physically killing somebody. In 1 John 3:15, it says that to hate your brother or sister means that you are a murderer at heart. So when we carry hate for our brother or our sister, what it effectively means is that we are murderers. In the eyes of God, we have become murderers. So murdering is not just about physical murder, but murdering is also about a spiritual murder, which you can commit through hating your brother, through hating your sister. And if all you do is talk badly and negatively about your brothers, about your sisters, it means that you and I at heart are effectively showing hatred, and consequently, we are murderers at heart. So hands that shed innocent blood through gossip, through spreading of false rumors, all of that, it makes us murderers. Let's pray that God will keep us from that, will keep our tongues, and that we will focus on him, and he will be the author and finisher of our faith, and that our mind and eyes and everything will be stayed on him. And as it stayed on him, it will engender and bring about a purity of heart, that we will not develop hatred towards our brothers and sisters and become murderers at heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the last one I want us to look at for now is the aspect of a person that stirs up conflict in the community. That's the next one that I want us to look at. We've looked at haughty eyes. We've looked at the issue of pride. We've looked at the issue of lying and a lying tongue, how God hates that, and how, you know, making sure that we speak truth will ensure that we see good days, that we, you know, if we love life, we will see good days, that we do not speak guile, we do not speak lies, we do not release evil, we do good, we seek peace, we ensue it, we make sure that we refrain from lying, because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and they that deal truly are his delight. So when we speak in truth, we become a delight unto God. And we've talked about the aspect of hands that shed innocent blood, and now I want us to talk about the last, very last scripture there in verse 19. Says a person who stirs up conflict in the community. In the community, we've dealt with the aspect of false witness, which is very similar to somebody who lies. It says a false witness who pours out lies, very similar to the lying tongue one. And hearts that devise wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush into evil. And also dealing with the aspect of a person who stirs up conflict in the community. These are all things that are related. You have some people who all they wish, all they want to do is stir up strife, is stir up issues, challenges, is separate friends, is cause division, all of those. Devise wicked plans, presenting false witness, sow discord in ministry. Some people have very, wicked plans around wanting to sabotage the work of the ministry, because they have a personal agenda to climb and to take senior positions in a ministry. And so they do so by sowing discord and strife and telling lies about other people so that they can climb on the backs of those people. That is nothing but wickedness. Wickedness. And I adjure you, if you have been involved in that, we must repent. We must repent. We must stop lying. We must stop slandering others. We must stop gossiping. We must stop spreading false witness, sowing discord, and devising wicked strategies, and embarking on character assassinations. There's some who just, you know, specialize in assassinating the characters of others. Beloveds, it's time for us to get a life. People who do such are only showing and proving that they have no purpose in life and they have too much on their hands. Listen, beloveds, having a title does not make us a believer. It doesn't make us super spiritual. It's our actions, it's our character, it's our behavior that testify as to whether we are true believers or not. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If all a person can do is speak evil about others, all they're doing is showing that they have an abundantly evil heart. So I want to encourage us. Let's not get involved in any of the seven things that God hates. This last one about, you know, about a talebearer, or about a person who's quick to come up with, to stir conflict in the community. Proverbs 11:13 says this about a talebearer. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. So this one is not even about telling lies, but are you going around to spread rumors? It could even be true, but what is your agenda in talking about that truth? Is it to cause strife? Is it to sow discord? If your agenda, even in talking about things that may be true, is to cause hurt and to wound somebody else and to cause conflict amongst people, even through the spreading of truth, but if your agenda is to cause conflict, then that is one of the seven things that God hates. And so my prayer for you and me is that we would operate as true believers who will love one another in peace, in unity, not sowing discord and disharmony, but sowing love, encouraging one another, pointing to one another, not talking evil about one another, but walking together in love and in unity. May God richly bless you in this season. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. See you next time. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, SKM. Shimi Kotu Ministries International Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you once again our weekly broadcast, Voice of Destiny, Empowered for Your Destiny. This morning I want to discuss with you on the authority that we find in the Word of God. Why study the Word of God? For this undertaking, let us take ourselves through in some very important aspects that I believe are very important into our lives as we walk with God together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, Peter is addressing the people of his time. They were now under pressure, intense persecution, because the world around them was being ruled by the emperors of the time, who were known of their brutality and their cruelty over God's people. Peter writes, therefore, assuring them that the integrity of the Word of God was not given to us by private interpretation, but that we had received a sure word of prophecy, wherewith we did well if we received that word. For holy men of God spoke and wrote it down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's gear up ourselves right now as we get into it, because Jesus is the subject matter of the Bible. Written by 40 men, different geographical locations, different historical background, different cultural and political position. Peter was a fisherman. Daniel was a prime minister. Amos was a shepherd. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Right through the scriptures, these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down that which God had inspired them to write. Written over a period of 1,500 years, the coherence of the scripture, it's amazing. It is important for us to note that, ladies and gentlemen, there is no book like the Bible. I, in fact, picked up a book one time that was stating all these great works by great men of God, by great men in history. People like Shakespeare, people like Socrates, people like Aristotle, these Greek philosophers that had left a great impact in our world. And as I was reading that, paging through the book, I found out the whole chapter inserted the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. What does that say? Wisdom is not wisdom apart from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in a time where people are trying and governments are trying to redefine life, you and I need to understand that we are responsible as stewards of this gospel of the kingdom to stand unashamed as we hold the authority of the Word of God. Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 1, he declares, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, For the gospel is the power of God to our salvation. I want to encourage everyone, therefore, in this day and age, that the foundation of truth, our measuring line, the criterion of truth, can only be found in the authority of the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, why the word of God? Because the word of God is a sure standard. It is the only thing that God has given us by which we can judge and measure truth from lies. That's why you'll find it in the hotels, you'll find it in the courtrooms. This is the word of God. Now, why the word of God? I'll give you 7 reasons why you and I need the word of God. Number one, the word of God is a revelation. What that means is, it is geared to reveals the origin of men, reveals the origins of the worlds, reveals the origin of everything we see and what we do not see. If you wanted to know anything and everything about the origins of mankind, it is in the word of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. There you are. If you want to know everything about the Elohistic nature of the Creator, it's in the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 1. It reveals. But number 2, the word of God refutes. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. For the word of God is inspired by God, good for doctrine, correction, for rebuking, inspiration, and for reproof. Anything that you want to understand about the word of God, it is its own standard. It refutes against the philosophies of mankind. Many good things have been written by great philosophers and great historians. They have come and they have gone. But the word of God has stood the test of times. First book that was to be read on the moon. You'll find it anywhere and everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the word of God, the book of books. It is said of all the printing presses around the world, it is the only book that has got the largest printing press. And the largest printing press being found in China, which is at the present moment a communist country. But the Bible is the most printed book. This is the word of God. 66 books, 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New Testament, written primarily in 3 languages, in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Aramaic. This is the word of God. It reveals, number one. Number two, it refutes. But number three, it reproduces. The word of God knows how to reproduce. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible tells us by the mouth of Luke that it is like a seed planted on different ground. But the Bible says you are guaranteed that when you plant it, it will surely reproduce. whatever you are believing God for your family, for your hopes, for your dreams, for your spouse, for your marriage, you are assured of one thing: my words will come to pass. The words of your friends will expire and change, but the word of God is its own standard. The word of God is like a seed. It will reproduce. From where it started in Jerusalem with a few disciples, it spread to Judea, spread to Samaria, spread all over the world. Today, the word of God has got millions and millions and millions of Christians that have been converted because of the authority of the word of God. Because the word of God is a seed to us. It reveals, it refutes, it reproduces. But number four, the word of God redirects life. Isaiah 54, the Bible declares, "For we all were like sheep astray, but oh, the authority and the power of the word of God found us whilst we were all separated from him, found us whilst we were all going in a different direction, found us, and it brought us life." The word of God redirects. But ladies and gentlemen, the word of God revives. That's number six. The word of God is a revival. It brings transformation. It brings true change in our hearts. Finding yourself in a place where you do not know, you feel surrounded with dead dreams, dead hopes, dead things all around you. The word of God surely is a source of life for you and I. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of God. So we find out now, number one, it reveals. Number two, it refutes. Number three, it reproduces. Number four, it redirects. Number five, it revives. But number six, we also find out that the power and the authority of the word of God, it rebuilds lives. Broken hopes, broken dreams, it can rebuild you again. Children of Israel, after they found themselves in bondage in Babylon, coming under Ezra, coming under Nehemiah, they came back and they found that the walls of Jerusalem that had been burnt by fire, the gates had been destroyed by the enemies. But the process of rebuilding was done by the word of God. They rebuilt the word of God in 52 days. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God rebuilds what has been broken. What is it in your life that has been broken by the enemy, broken by society, broken by people? God promises by the authority of his word to rebuild that which has been broken. The word of God rebuilds. Number seven, the last point. The word of God gets us ready. Important for us to understand that we are living our lives, but we are living our lives knowing very well that one day, the one who called us to himself, who saved us, by whom we are born again, has brought us to a place where we are always ready to go with him to where he wants us to be. the Word of God. Make us ready to go and meet up our Savior. These are seven components, seven things that we find through the authority of the Word of God. I pray for you, therefore, that as we continue to grow in Him, may we find ourselves ready, empowered by the Word of God. You see, there are four weapons that I believe every believer needs in these times. As we are faced up with COVID-19, our lives are in jeopardy. Many have lost their jobs. Many have lost their homes. Many have lost the sense of their businesses. And you wonder, how do you build again? I want to offer to you the power and authority of the Word of God. You can rise up and build again. For the Word of God is alive. Power to rebuild that which has been broken in your life. The Bible is a sure standard for your life and my life. Whatever you are encountering, whatever you are facing, I want you to understand that the Word of God can build you again. You can rebuild your hopes. You can rebuild your dreams. Everything that you have desired to see over your life, take the authority of the Word of God and build once again. Jesus Christ will bless your life. Four powerful tools that we use to build our lives. Number one is the name of Jesus. The name that has been given to you and I by which we can be saved. Jesus Christ is the signature. Jesus Christ, He is the authority behind that which we pray. So when we pray and we end our prayers in the name of Jesus, we are not just saying the name of Jesus because it's a sweet little thing to say. We are not just saying the name of Jesus because it's a cool thing, it's a cliche, a rhetoric that is being practiced for religious, by religious leaders or religious people to say in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ is our signature by which you and I can find answers to that which you believe God for. Number two, we use the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus Christ is His own authority. Leviticus chapter 17, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Ladies and gentlemen, the power and the authority of our lives is authenticated by understanding that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free. As we move in power and in authority, let us always remember that the authority and our power, we find it in the blood of Jesus Christ. When life throws its curveballs, when we don't seem to be finding a sense of direction around us, the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Daily as we live our lives, remember the power of the name of Jesus Christ. What's in a name? We say Michael Jordan. You think of basketball. What's in a name? You think of Tiger Woods. You think of golfing. What's in a name? Jackie Chan. You think of a movie. Ladies and gentlemen, the authority that we require, we find it in the precious blood of Jesus. I want to encourage you today that as we live our lives day by day, remember that the authority we need is in the name, is in the blood, but also it's in our praise. When we praise Him, we give Him an opportunity to work more in our lives. When we praise Him, we give Him an opportunity for Him to work wonders on our behalf. When we praise Him, sometimes we live in a world where Christians are full of complaining. But you and I, when we learn to praise His name, we are giving ourselves an opportunity to see Him work wonders in our lives. I want to encourage you today in your daily life, remember to praise His holy name. Because when we praise Him, we give Him an opportunity to work on our behalf. Life can be cumbersome. The world around us can be tedious. But oh, when you understand the power and the authority of praising and worshiping Him, He is a good God indeed. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, once again on our studio. I've given to us the 7 things why we need the Word of God in our lives. It reveals, it refutes, it reproduces, it redirects, it revives, it rebuilds, and it gets us ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Apostle Josh Moyo here on our SKM radio studio with our sister Kayla Paget as we bring you weekly the authority that we find in the Word of God. Have a fantastic day. See you again next week. Father God, I want to pray for your people. Pray that you bless them as you continue in these days where others are we are still under lockdown, strict measures. The measures are being loosened for a while. So Lord, I pray that God, you have made others to survive through this virus. Others have gone home to be with the Lord. Others can't bear the burdens of unemployment. Lord, I pray that you continue to stand by them. Let Christ continue to elevate them and keep them. Surprise us in these days, Lord God Almighty, as we believe in you, that Jesus continue to rise up on our behalf and we'll see the mighty move of God like never before in our world. Because we believe that your word has declared, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I thank you and I honor you right now and I glorify your name, Jehovah God, for that which you are doing even in our lives. May you continue to be lifted up and be glorified. We honor you and we love you because you are a faithful God. As we trust in you, we trust that Jesus Christ, you shall be exalted in whatever we do, now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.